Being over, really, aren't I? So this is my last Sunday, Julie's last Sunday. We'll see you again in round about October sometime. We've got a little bit of holiday coming up in October as well. You'll see us around the town, and so please don't just ignore us. You are allowed to say hello to us and all that kind of stuff and check out how we're doing. But we'll leave you to your own devices on Sundays. And I know that... We've got lots of things planned for you, and I'm sure you'll be fine. You'll be fine, won't you? I don't need to worry, do I? No. Okay, that's all right. Okay, good. So there'll be an out of office on my emails. There'll be a message on my mobile phone, and I'll do my best to ignore you in the nicest possible way, if that's okay. Right, great, good. So this is kind of a bit of a handover moment, really. And it's a bit of a, I want us to acknowledge the church leaders, the elders and the deacons this morning. And there'll be a bit of, I think, them sending Julie and I off into the blue yonder later on as well. So they wanted to do that. And Julie and I are looking forward to 3 months of renewal, really. Okay, so that's what this is about. But first of all, I think what Julie and I want to say to all of you is thank you to the church for such a generous sabbatical package. The last 13 years of ministry has been a roller coaster for us, really, an incredible roller coaster in Shropshire and in Rutland. If somebody had said to me 13 years ago that I'd end up in Rutland, not that far from where I was born, actually, I would never have believed them. But there we go. And this sabbatical is about some time for us to go away and recalibrate, to renew, to refill, and just recapture God's perspective on what he's up to. One of the great dangers with ministry is we have a spiritual tank that God fills, and then we pour out of that tank. And one of the big risks for ministers is always we start to give out more from the tank than we take in. And that is a dangerous place to be. And so it's right that I go away and refill the tank. And it's in your best interest that I do as well, actually, and the same for Julie. So we sense that we are approaching a bit of a key time. I'm 58 this year. I know. It's terrible. I can see my bus pass coming. You know, it's quite scary, really. The seasons are changing. You can see, can't you? The seasons are changing. So for us, there's that kind of thing, and it's understanding what God is wanting us to do. And particularly, I think, I'm seeing some next steps for us here in Oakham, in Rutland. I'm sensing and seeing God doing things in the town, not just here, but in the town and the county. And I want to go and just make sure that I'm hearing it right as to where we focus. And it's vital, actually, to understand what God is saying to his church. So I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about one anothering, a little bit about leadership, and a little bit about sabbaticaling. So here we go. Let's see if I can get this to work. There we go. I want to talk to you about one anothering. Before we come to share bread and wine together, and pray with and for one another, and do that one anothering thing, I just want to say a couple of words, a couple of things, leave some last words with you for the summer. A few weeks ago, Frank shared on discipleship and discipling, and it was a great message. And in that message, Frank made the point that discipleship is about one another. And he pointed us to many, many verses in the New Testament, and I've printed a few off there again for you, and they're scattered around. Please do help yourselves, or email Ebby, and he'll email them over to you. But Frank pointed us to many, many verses about one anothering, about how the New Testament calls us to minister to one another. In our westernized church and the way we've constructed it and developed it down the centuries, we've tended to elevate ministers into this. And actually, the New Testament doesn't talk about it in that way. It talks more about the priesthood of all believers. And one anothering is a key phrase that crops up all the time. We look after one another. Okay? And you've got a fantastic opportunity to do that. A mature church, a church that is growing up, as we read in Ephesians, a church that is building itself up, building each other up and lifting one another up, a church that is growing into maturity as it flexes these faith muscles and people step into their abilities and their God-given gifting and calling. That is a church that is maturing, that is growing into its calling and into itself. And disciples want to do that for one another. They want one another to grow deeper in faith. They want one another to grow deeper in gifting. And the only way you'll grow deeper in gifting is if you grow deeper in the practicing of that gifting. Yeah? Yeah. Do you know, I should be over in Russia playing for the England team. Okay? I should be out there. But you know what? I didn't practice enough, so I'm not there. Yeah? And it's a bit the same. It's a bit the same with us and our giftings. You are an incredibly able church. Now, some of those verses that Frank has put on that sheet, this gifting and this practicing and doing, this being who we're called to be, some of this stuff, we might call them virtues of kingdom living, actually. Exercising the virtues, living out the virtues of kingdom living. And there's a few, I'm just going to pop up on the screen. And I don't really need to say too much about them because they kind of speak for themselves, really. So let's have a look. There's that first one there from Romans 12. Be devoted to one another in brotherly and sisterly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now that is actually quite hard, isn't it? Honoring one another. Taking time out to give one another that devotion and that respect so that that other person feels totally, totally secure in our company, in our presence, feels totally respected because they are who they are. No judging, no fixing them, because we do tend to do that a bit, don't we? Tend to look at one another's lives. Oh, why did they do that? Why did they behave that way? Let's fix them. Let's fix them. I think it's God that does the fixing. And then that one there, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. If we start doing things like Alpha, and if we start moving out and talking to lots of people at work and neighbours and school, and they start saying, yeah, I kind of fancy learning more about God, they're going to be very different, aren't they? Yeah? They're not going to have that familiarity with the Bible and all that kind of stuff that we've got. And yet, acceptance is a huge thing, isn't it? Yeah? Because let's face it, at some point Jesus accepted you and he accepted me. Yeah? And we're not the finished articles. So acceptance, huge thing, huge thing. Galatians. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. That's quite hard as well, isn't it? I am your servant. You are my servant. You will look out for my needs. I will look out for your needs. I will serve you. I haven't done it since we've been here. We haven't done the whole washing of feet thing. But actually, that's quite an exercise, isn't it? That makes us a little bit humble and serve one another. It's a good reminder. Serve one another in love. Yeah, because you can serve in two ways. You can serve grudgingly, or you can serve in love. Ephesians, be completely humble and gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Patience is one of the things I struggle with. Yeah? You might think that I'm all nice, just talk to Julie, she'll tell you that I can be incredibly impatient. Incredible. How many times have I got to tell them that this is the way it should be done? I'm going to get stroppy. And all that kind of stuff comes out. You know, this impatience thing. And yet, loving people and loving people through stuff and being patient is quite a challenge. Be patient. Bear with one another. Is anybody here perfect yet? It's just you and me, Phil. It is just you and me, isn't it? That explains a lot, actually, doesn't it? Don't you think? Yeah, it really does. Yeah, it does. It explains a lot. And so, you know, if we don't rub along, if we don't bear with, you know, church is going to be a church of one, isn't it? Yeah? So this whole bearing with one another, massively important. And in Ephesians 4 there, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Our imperfections cause us friction sometimes. Friction in family, friction in fellowship, friction in church is how it is. There are extroverts and there are introverts. Yeah? There are prophets and there are teachers. They are opposite ends of these personality, human spectrum things. We are different. I see the world through a certain set of senses and interpretations. You see the world through a different set of interpretations because you're wired differently to me. That means that you will see something and make a completely different judgment of the situation to me. You will be attracted to different things to me and I you. And so it goes on. And there's all this variety in there. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that a lot, that we're different, and that rubbing along with one another needs to understand that tolerance and that space for you to be you and for me to be me. Yeah, but church, one of the wonders and the great miracles of church is that nevertheless, we are one body, and we understand that to be one body, having that variety of virtue is important, very important. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll come back to a couple more verses from 1 Thessalonians 5 in a minute. But this is a big one. One of the values that we're talking about at the moment as church as well, encouragement. Encourage one another. We need a lift. I need a lift. You need a lift. Encourage one another. Life can be hard, can't it? Yeah? And we all go through our tough stuff. Many of you are going through and have been through tough stuff recently. Tough stuff. Therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up. Build each other up. Just as, in fact, you're doing. Build each other up. And then from 1 John, dear friends, let us love one another. This is a love that is an intentional choice to love. Yeah? It's not the puppy love thing. It's the intentional choosing. Despite everything, I choose to love you. You choose to love me. God has chosen to love us. We are his people. We do the same. We love one another. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. The chances are that as you went through some of those verses, when I read them, a couple of faces, names, situations came to my mind, prompted me to think, am I doing that? Am I being that? Am I living out that? And is there any stuff I need to put right with God and then put right with people? If some of that stuff happened to you, I would encourage you to pray about it, pray about those people. But things like honor, and devotion, honouring one another, being devoted to one another, accepting one another, serving one another, being patient and bearing with, being kind, compassionate, forgiving and encouraging, loving one another, all of that in the context of our relationship, that builds something remarkable. It builds something otherworldly. It builds something of kingdom here on earth. Thy kingdom come on earth. So can I ask you, please, while I'm away, will you look after one another? Will you do that? Will you do that? And will you not stop doing that when I get back in October? You carry on anyway? Yeah? Look after one another. Commit to one another. And that doesn't just mean the people that you like and the people that you get on with. Each of you is precious. Take care of everyone. Step up. Step up. And engage with each other. It isn't somebody else's job. It isn't. That's not what those verses said. It said one another. Okay? It's your job. It's your job. One another, one another. Let's just pause. And I'm going to pray for you as a church for this one anothering business, and then we'll just move on to something else. Let's pause and let me pray for you, for each of you. Let's pray. Father, Father, for each and every person here this morning, for each and every person connected with this church, for each and every precious soul, for each and every person for whom Jesus went to the cross and died to cover all that junk in their lives and to make a way to Father for them, for each and every person. Father, I pray that you will bless them, that you will pour your Spirit on them and in them and through them, that you will grow them, that you will enable them to be, as we've just read in these verses, a passionate one anotherer of all those folk around them, that you will grow in them and deepen the sense of honouring and devotion, the sense of wanting to accept and serve, that you will increase the capacity to be patient and bear with, that you will deepen the wells of kindness, compassion and forgiveness, that you will nurture a spirit of encouragement, and that you will wrap all of this in the choice and the capacity to love beyond all reasonable measure. Father, pour out your blessing on each and every person in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just want to move on to that one there. 1 Thessalonians 5, I just want to talk to you about our lovely elders and our lovely deacons, just for a moment, okay? So Paul wrote some words which are up on the screen there. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, who admonish you. We don't do much admonishing here, really, do we? You're holding your breath now, aren't you? You think there's something coming now, don't you? There isn't. But about our leaders, these people who serve you in so many ways, who love you and give up so much for you, says there, hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. The best thing that you can do for these people is pray for them. You know, they are great people. They're normal people. They have their failings. They're very human. But they give up an enormous amount of their time and their passion and their skills and their ability to serve you. And I need to know that you're going to look after them. Yeah? That you're going to make this next 3 months a breeze for them. Because you're going to step up and you're going to do the stuff. And when they come looking and you think, here comes the Exocet missile, they're going to ask me to do something. And what you're going to say to them is, if I can, it would be a pleasure. And just make it a joyous time for them. Are you going to do that? Yes, you don't sound too sure, but shall we pray for them? So, elders, deacons, if you're around, I can see the three of you here. Do you want to stand up? And I think we should pray for you. Let's pray for them. If you want to lift up your hand in their direction, that is fine. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our leaders in this church. We want to thank you for their faith and their passion for you. We want to thank you for their willingness to serve. We want to thank you that in their humility and their weakness, they are nevertheless prepared to say yes to you and to stand in the breach, to step into the gap. And Father, we thank you that one of the glories of your church is that you take ordinary people like us, and through your extraordinary Holy Spirit, you equip us to cope. And so we pray for these three elders here, pray for the deacons as well, and we pray for your Holy Spirit to touch them, anoint them, and just give them all that they need to carry all those responsibilities that you lay on them. And Father, we pray for ourselves, that you would take away from us any judgmental attitudes about leadership, that you would remind us that we are rarely in possession of all the facts or the big picture, and that what we see sometimes is merely the tip of a huge iceberg. And so help us, protect us from that spirit of judgment, and instead help us to one another, our leaders, as they serve us in so many ways. Bless them and equip them, and make this next 3 months a joy for them and a blessing for them, in the sense that they will discover a new richness from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And part three, a little bit about me and where I'm at. I've been seeking counsel and wisdom, talking to lots of other people who are far more able and experienced in these things than I am. And I've been talking to them about sabbatical. And interestingly, consistently from these people who know me quite well and have prayed, been praying for me, they've consistently come up with the same kind of words for me, actually. It's all on a similar pattern, and therefore I kind of have to submit to some of that. And these words up on the screen, these are from an email that came to me on Friday from a senior minister in a Baptist church, a much bigger church than this one. And it kind of sums up the gist of what other people have been saying. Sabbaticals are very different. They're very individual. They're built around those particular people. And their different ministries and the time and place that they're at in their ministries, the season, if you like, and whatever preparation is going on for the future. But it's this kind of stuff that people are saying to me. And you've got to understand, this is quite hard for me. Be still. I mean, I don't do that easily. But be still. So be still, Steve. Be still. You do not have anything. You do not have to do anything. Just look. You do not have to listen for specific sounds. Just listen. You do not have to accomplish anything. Just be. And in the looking, the listening, the being, find me. I'm a bit of a doer, I like to do stuff. I like to see the end product of it. And so this challenge of just being before God is quite a hard one for me, actually. But I think that's what I'm hearing. And I think what I want to say to you all is that when Julie and I come back in October, we won't be the same. We won't be the same. OBC and all of you won't be the same. 3 months would have gone by when we've been apart and we've travelled slightly differently and we'll be slightly different. We'll have done stuff without each other for 3 months. And as you've all grown into your ministries and your one anothering, I won't want to take all of that back, to be honest. It won't be appropriate to take all of that back, because you'll have grown into something and that will be you then. And I suspect that God will have laid on my heart and Julie's heart other things that we need to be doing instead. Yeah? I've got this thing going on in here that I ought to be spending a lot more time looking out and helping people find faith. Yeah? And if I'm going to be spending a lot more time doing that and helping people journey to Jesus, then that time has got to come from somewhere. But we can work that through as a church. I think we've got to find and journey towards a better balance. We talked about that last week. A better balance in our ministries of word and spirit, a better balance in the fivefold ministries. And I'll talk about that a lot more when I come back. A better balance of going out. We do a lot in here. We need to do more out there. And I think that's on my mind quite a lot. I think God is calling us to a great adventure. Do you like adventures? Yeah, so I think there's an adventure coming. And I'm quite excited about it. But I need to be still. And I need to listen. And I think at this point, probably the elders want to pray for me and for Julie. So I'm going to submit to their leadership.
You will be fine. If one or two would like to join us, because it's not just the elders who are going to pray for this lovely couple, it's all of us. And we'll pray for them as we're led, and then we will anoint Steve and Julie and pray God's blessing on them for where they're going and where they're growing. So come and join us.
Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we worship you and praise you, we thank you also for Steve and Julie, for all that they have done here at OBC. Lord, thank you that we are in position as a church to now release them to go on sabbatical. And Father, I have a great sense that it is a releasing from the responsibilities here. So we pray your blessing and your anointing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 And Father, we thank you for this amazing opportunity that you've given all of us, for Steve and Julie as a couple, as a ministry team, and for us as a church, Father. You have poured out potential into us as people and into this time, Father. And we ask again that potential would be released and developed, and that your spirit would be so working in Steve and Julie and so working in us that there'll be something new coming out of this, Father. And we just ask that you would pour out your Spirit on them as they start this process, Father, that they would be anointed and strengthened. They would have the courage to face up to whatever you're asking them to do, Father, and the courage to be still and to wait on you, Father. We just thank you for this wonderful opportunity, and we ask that we would all make the very most of it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clarity of this word, Lord, and now we ask that as we thank you for the word, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit, Lord, because sometimes it's hard to line up with your word, and you know our longing to do that, so we ask for your help. We speak a blessing on you, Steve and Julie, in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. The blessing and help of the Holy Spirit, yeah, to line up with the word and to see what you do. Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I pray that this time will be a time of joy too, a time of happiness, a time of enjoyment, a time of relaxation, a time of when being still, not to be sitting rigidly in a chair thinking I've got to be still, but just in the everyday things of joyful and happy things, Lord, that they will find you and see you. So we do pray your blessing upon them. We're going to miss them, Lord, but I pray that we will be able to let them go. Let them go with your blessing and with your love. And I pray, Lord, that here we will all step up as we're asked to do the things that you need us to do here. And as Steve has been saying, we won't be the same in 3 months' time. I pray, Lord, that we won't be the same in 3 months' time, because some of us are very good at sitting firmly and not moving. But I do pray, Lord, for Steve and Julie and for ourselves, that we won't be the same in 3 months' time, because you, Holy Spirit, have filled each one of us and have given us the things that you need us to have to do your work to build the kingdom here. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing Steve and Julie to us. And thank you, Lord, for bringing them back to us in October, changed. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Steve and Julie, may the Father's hand keep you from stumbling. The footprints of Jesus give you confidence to follow. And the fire of the Spirit keep you warm and safe in the challenges as you walk with God. Mm. And now we anoint you. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks.